Hello and welcome to Beers and Banter, a Mike and Colin podcast, the show where two longtime friends get together to enjoy adult beverages and talk nonsense about the stuff they love. This week we're having a conversation salon about, are we seeing the beginning of the end in terms of modern comic book storytelling in the mainstream? Now, a couple orders of business before we get started. First, this is a deep dive, so consider this a spoiler warning, and to be honest, we'll probably be all over the place given the subject matter. And second, this is an adult show fueled by adult beverages, so there's going to be a lot of adult language, earmuffs for all the Padawans out there. Michael, how are you?
I am very good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Had a great day.
Yeah? What'd you get up to today?
Played some hockey,
which won
my game.
Oh, well, you guys won?
Yeah, we won.
Oh, did you have to stand on your head, or was just, did you guys
I
play well?
I stand on my head.
Oh, no. You all...
no, Mike... My team played very good. My team played very well.
It's always good.
I'm a team guy. I'm not a stats guy. So
I know.
It's about the team.
I know.
We played excellent. We won. So
it's just, I remember there used to be days of like, how'd you do in hockey today? And you're like, I made 58 saves. We lost. I'm like, oh my
yes,
God.
I've had those days as well. Today wasn't one of them.
That's never fun.
Yeah, I actually do find that fun.
Well,
not if it's, you know, game in, game out.
You want to be engaged, yeah. But at the same, you know.
Sometimes it's fun where you're like, there's no way I'm winning this, but
yeah,
I'm going to do as much as I can. Anyways.
Also, I mean, you make 56 saves and everyone buys you the beer. So
that is true.
You know, there's that as well,
yeah.
Right? So I also had a pretty good day.
Nice.
Got in a lot of editing, got a couple more, you know, get some episodes ready to be in the can.
Yeah, so you guys should be excited.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but...
All our three listeners are excited.
Hey.
They're agog. So anyways.
We're fairly international. We almost have no one who listens in Canada anymore, which is kind of funny to me.
That is true.
But anyways,
let's talk about our beer as we usually do first.
Yeah, let's talk about the beer.
Yeah, so we're drinking Main Street Pilsner. Oh. So it's like their basic Pilsner.
Main Street, where are they based out of?
They are Mount Pleasant area in Vancouver.
I used to live out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was close to where you used to live. That's
very close to where I used to live.
I've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
I like it. I like their brewery, their setup. It's nice.
When I lived in Mount Pleasant, I really enjoyed my time out there. Yeah. So
it's a very nice
East
area.
Van. Yeah.
And it's East Van and actually the can talks about how this is an ode to Mount Pleasant and Brewery Creek neighborhood where they live and work. And how it's very diversified.
Very diversified.
Lots of rings and diamond rings. Coiffed hair and shaved heads, tattoos and suits.
I'm all those things.
Yeah.
So
culture and creativity.
I am culture and I am creativity.
See, there you go.
So this
is an ode to that.
I really did enjoy my time. I lived out in Mount Pleasant years. So anyways. So,
have you had this before?
What's it called?
It's just Main Street Pilsner. It's their basic Pilsner they make. It's like their core Pilsner.
Oh, no. Not off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, because when you go there, you usually get the fancy ones, right?
I usually do too. When I'm in... Yeah, exactly.
When you go and get a flight, you get the weird flavors.
Well, typically, I would not get there. You know, you want to... When in Rome, you know, you want to try that...
Expand your horizons.
That doesn't really apply. But
It doesn't. I know what you meant, Colin.
But you're not going to go someplace and get their standard lager or pilsner or whatever, right? Or pale ale or whatever. So, all right, but let's rip into this. Let's give it a try.
You go for it. I've had it before.
Oh, have you?
Yep.
Okay.
I know. I like it. It's good. It smells like a regular pilsner.
That's a good drinking pilsner.
What strikes you first about it? It's a little different.
It has a kind of... A must that comes in on the low end.
Yeah.
Like a regular Pilsner is a little sharper on the top end. Does that make any... It's a little crisper. Yes, that's the right word. Does that make any sense?
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So this one, to me, it has like a lingering aftertaste.
This is...
Which I do not...
This is almost like an... Not in terms of the hoppiness.
Nope.
But the feel of an IPA.
Yep. Well, to me, it's
It
like
has a, that body, that to IPA me,
it's
body.
Like an, it's like a pale ale, like a red ale to me.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's what it tastes like to me.
Yeah. But not without that kind of red ale tang.
No, exactly. It's still light like a Pilsner.
Yeah.
Because it is a Pilsner. Like, legit was brewed like a Pilsner.
Like, it had... But the flavor was brewed like a Pilsner, but it doesn't... It's not, like, weak and sharp the way a regular Pilsner is, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's actually one of the reasons I wanted to drink this with you. I saved these. And
I'm really enjoying it.
It's quite different for a Pilsner. It's very good. It's very good.
I really dig this.
Mm-hmm. It's very light, easy to drink, but it's got that heavy flavor almost.
Yeah, I dig it a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I'm going to work through this pretty fast, I think, actually.
And for a Pilsner, it's 5%, so it's a little bit stronger. Usually they're around 4.5. So,
because Pilsners are typically pretty easy to drink.
They are.
They're breezy after.
They're just above a light beer usually.
I mean, I think about Pilsner, like, you know what I mean?
Pilsner brand, yeah.
Like Pilsner brand. And I just, you know, that's just Sunday afternoon in the back, you know, on the back porch barbecue beer, right? Like,
yep. Yeah.
So
I thought it was quite tasty. Mm. So I'm glad we got to drink it on.
Well, this episode is an excuse not to pair a beer to anything.
That is true too.
Because we're trying something a little different today.
Yep.
No homework was involved.
No homework, which I like.
That
was my motto in high school. No homework. Down with homework.
Your motto wasn't no homework. It was no work.
Right. Just in general.
It was do nothing.
Down with homework. But yeah, anyways.
Down with homework.
Up with mini skirts.
Well, even when we do
episode?
Of course. Yes, of course.
Skinner.
Like typically when we do a live watch, even to, or, you know, like a post game, like the kind of episodes where, you know, like, there's a little bit of front end work. We thought it'd be funner to do something a little more off the cuff, a little more closer to when we just have an actual conversation when we're getting shitter in the bar.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We might end up rambling a lot.
Well, we'll see if we can use this material or not, but hopefully we can.
We're already rambling. Let's go.
We're already rambling. But
let's get on to it.
I just thought we've kind of reached this phase in terms of the pop culture sphere where we've kind of hit a critical mass in terms of content. And whether or not this is sustainable in the long run is particularly, I mean, this is because it hits close to home for, you know, both of us. Comic book material, whether or not, I mean, okay, either A or B, when it has to happen. A, they need a refresh, clearly, in terms of how this material is presented, because it's kicking a dead horse at this point.
Yeah.
Or B, will something else in terms of what is entertainment come up to take its place because nature abhors a vacuum? Like, basically, one of those two things has to happen.
Right.
Now, in the case of A, how do we make superhero storytelling interesting again on a big scope level? Because we're kind of in a deluge right now, in a low point. And I don't think you could argue that that's not the case. And B, what's the alternative? Do we even move away from that kind of media? And does, like, movie storytelling start to disintegrate? Because that is most of the big budget stuff that they do now, right? Like, it's a big question.
Yes.
Right? So, I don't know. What are your thoughts? I know it's a big question, but what are your thoughts on this stuff? And I know we both have a lot to say on it. So
we've talked about this a little bit, and I think the hard part is that they keep telling stories with characters that things have already been done. So they're kind of locked in, right? So a character has been developed, you know, 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, that the character has already been put in this box and be like, this is what he does. This is how he acts.
Yeah.
So the writing for it is like, what do you come up with new that doesn't break the character? Because people don't appreciate when you totally change a character.
Well, that
it doesn't come up. It doesn't work.
It doesn't. It doesn't. On a fandom level, it doesn't work.
No.
Because nerds like you and me give a shit about stuff like that. Normies on the top tier don't care about that kind of stuff tell a good movie.
Yeah.
The Rock can be that guy. And as long as there's good action scenes and whatever, right? Like, they might not care.
Yeah.
So it's two different levels that we're working with here. If somebody who was talking about, like, you know, like Walt Simonson's Thor run might give a shit about Love and Thunder, but, you know, like, but to somebody who's just wanted to go see a fun movie, right? Like, and I feel like Marvel and DC both are trying to capture the normies and really failing right now. Like, that's the feeling, right?
Right.
Like, I feel like things are saturated.
Yeah.
So how do we refresh?
I think that's part of the problem is that it is oversaturated. I think that is the number one problem.
Yeah.
If you're talking about as far
absolutely
as movies and shows go and from comics, it's they're doing too much. So nothing feels unique, even when it is unique.
Well, the next story is starting before the last one ends.
That's right. Yeah.
And like nothing feels important because it's just continuously happening. We're in a flood the shelves.
Yeah, it's not a big event anymore.
There's no events anymore.
You're waiting for the next one.
I mean, the other problem is...
They're more like episodes, like it's episodic.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep up with for the normal person.
And that too. Is somebody that's not really invested into it, it's too much.
Because
you miss... We're talking about the shows and movies now. If you miss one or two of them, you're lost.
It's like, overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
I have a life and a job and hobbies about the MCU and shit. Like, I can't just commit to this.
If we're talking about the MCU specifically, which we kind of are dancing around. Have you seen Moon Knight?
No.
Exactly. You haven't seen Moon Knight
yet.
Keep
going.
Did you watch She-Hulk?
No.
No. So, the point is, going forward...
You could do the same thing for Star Wars, too. I dipped out middle way of Obi-Wan. I haven't seen Andor, which I've actually heard is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it. It's pretty good. I actually enjoy that.
But
it looks the most like Star Wars.
It's a real flood-the-shelves strategy.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not just Disney.
But part of DC is doing this. Part of that is the streaming service. Like that, like
people, they need content.
They need content, so they have to flood it. Because people now watch a whole series in, you know, a night, in two days. So you can't put something out there. They're not going to be satisfied with it for 6 months. You need the next thing coming immediately because they've already watched that. They're done with it.
Yeah, because the business model has changed.
Yeah.
In the age of streaming. So, I mean, it's a very Marshall McLuhan idea. The media is driving the content.
Yes.
But it's a real problem because it's really watered down what we're getting on the front end. You obviously know that. Their effects teams are having problems at Marvel. I mean, keeping up, there's this real discontent. Mm-hmm. When we talked about Iron Man, we talked at length about how great the special effects were. And this was in 2008.
And the realism of it.
And it's
getting away from that because you're right. They just don't have time.
Yeah. So what's the fix there? Because I feel like there's still a great Western comic book story to tell, right? Like, as somebody who is versed in the history, especially in Marvel, you know, like, there's so much more they could mine, like great Thor runs, great X-Men runs, etc., blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's a lot, and there's a lot that they've
Fantastic
tried to do,
Four, like, before. They've not once been able to tell a good Fantastic Four story.
And there's a lot of good Fantastic Four stories out there.
There is. They just never have done it right? Yeah. Like, I kind of feel like the public deserves a good Fantastic Four story, which they've never got.
Yep.
But here we are. Maybe it never happens. I don't know.
Well, they're going to make one soon. So.
But you got to, at some point, do you go, when does the entropy kick in? When does the hate loss kick in? And when do people start to move on?
Yeah, you're right. It does feel like that right now.
Like,
it kind of feels like that. Like, are you super excited about the new Black Panther movie coming out in a short period of time here? Some people are. But do you think they're as excited as they are, like, when the first Avengers came out?
No.
That's not there anymore.
The public cachet just is not there anymore. The first Black Panther was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Will it be the same for the second, or will it just seems like more.
It's just more.
It's just more. Having more. It doesn't feel special anymore.
For more money.
Yeah, it feels like more.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like they have something to say. It just sounds like they're moving the story along.
Culturally, aesthetically, it's not moving the needle anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying that comic book storytelling in movies can't do that anymore. I believe it absolutely can.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do I feel like maybe Marvel is missing the mark recently?
I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I do feel like that's what the main problem is you're right. They're trying to put out more content and bless them. They're trying to go for the weird things. I appreciate it because there's a lot of weird things in comics. There's a lot of weird corners of the Marvel universe.
Oh, absolutely.
That they could just ignore because it's not mainstream. So I do appreciate
it. When are we going to get another Howard the Duck movie?
Yeah. You're right. I do appreciate that they're going.
Never is the answer, by the way.
I do appreciate that they're going for that. But that is kind of what saturates it because they can't make that their main story.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy proved that you tell a good story, though. You can make it work. You can get it over.
Yeah.
Provided that the quality is there.
Yes.
But don't do it half-assed.
But they also, that was back when they leaned on it. Like, they didn't have as many movies coming out at that time.
True.
So, it had to be a big movie, or the whole thing flopped. So now, they can make a TV series that isn't, let's say, their top work, But they still have, you know, another six movies in the next year. So,
well, there's also the accountant in me who understands how resources are allocated and makes me go, well, why would we spend $300 million or $400 million on a movie when we can churn out six TV shows?
That's right.
And because the new model is the streaming service model, the subscription model.
Exactly.
Because instead of getting $20 twice a year from somebody, you can get $150 from them guaranteed by having them subscribe to Disney Plus. And then, you know, so, and it's when you get bean counters like me in the room that things like that kind of make sense. But there's also the problem of weakening your goodwill and diluting the brand.
Yep.
And I feel like we're at the point of diluting the brand.
It's funny you talk about it, but you haven't watched She-Hulk, because the finale of She-Hulk basically addresses that head on.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of She-Hulk.
She talks about how ridiculous, because it starts going in one direction, and she breaks the fourth wall, like She-Hulk does.
Yeah.
In the comics, and she basically goes to, like, MCU headquarters.
Quick aside.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people had a problem with that, and yeah. I'm like, even going back to John Byrne's run, She-Hulk breaks the fourth wall.
A lot. Like, that's a common thing.
Yeah.
So
she was Deadpool before Deadpool.
She was, yeah.
People forget before that about Deadpool. She-Hulk.
Yeah. I know. People are all butthurt about it, but we can talk about She-Hulk on end. I actually really enjoyed it because it was very true to the comic.
Mm.
And I appreciated it, but that's the other problem.
Like, I'm so behind in terms of what I've seen.
Here's the other problem. You hit that nail on the head, is that they're trying to make shows and movies for the normies, like the people that aren't reading the comics, so that they don't get it. They're like, this is stupid. Right? But they're trying to also please the people that are into the actual source material.
Because normally this is not just Marvel, but business at large. If you have a core audience, you're going to always be able to keep your core audience if you keep churning over. And I feel like Phase 4 in general was kind of their opportunity to bring in, to try to rope in, we'll say, other people.
Yeah.
You know, like people who would normally maybe not be interested in superhero style storytelling. Yeah.
That's kind of what they're doing.
You're alienating your core base.
Yes.
But are you really roping those other, like, because to me, I look at She-Hulk and it looks like Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Is that unfair?
It's not like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I recommend watching
it. But that is an audience that you would normally never get.
No. But that, again, you're right, though. They are trying to go for a different audience.
Yeah.
And it's funny because...
Because that's how market saturation works. You have to keep on getting this kind of person and then that kind of person.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you sell.
Yeah.
It could be any sort of technology. I mean, the iPhone, some of those people are going to be lining up the first day and some will get it 4 years after the fact.
Yeah.
Now, Marvel has kind of reached the point in terms of their cultural saturation that they're like, well, let's try to get the 4 years later person now in as well, you know, the late adopter, right? And just say it in marketing terms. And I feel like that's kind of what a lot of their Disney Plus shows have done.
That is, yeah, you're right. That is what they're targeting.
Miss Marvel seems like almost like a borderline. And I've been told it's actually, for what it is, not bad.
I liked it.
Yeah. But a little more kiddie.
It is. It's for a younger generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For yeah. Sure. For, yeah. I mean, for what it is. But
as the comic is. So that's the thing, is that they're staying true to the source material. Like, do you read Miss Marvel comic?
No.
No, exactly.
No.
The show is for people
I don't who even do read X-Men comics now.
Comic. Well, yeah, you don't.
So
that's a whole other issue.
But that's a different episode for a different day. But
like I was getting at earlier, She-Hulk addressed it like it's going in one direction, the expected direction.
Yeah.
And she breaks the fourth wall and she's like, this is stupid. She's like, that's not how it should end. Let's have something different. Let's have something like more real. And like she breaks into like the MCU headquarters and meets with Kevin Feige, who ends up being
what?
Yeah, but it ends up being that he's a robot who uses statistics.
So it's like a formula. It's a cute metatextual joke.
Yes, and she's like, look, you do this the same, and he's like, well, we've figured out that this is the formula that works with people, and she's like, it's stupid. Let's do something different.
Mm.
And so it's you're right. It's a cute thing they do.
I'm not gonna lie. People will hate that.
They did. People have hated it, but when you think about the comic run, it's good. They did a good job. But it's bringing that what I appreciate about it too is it's bringing this question that you're asking me up in their own material.
Yeah,
is like, are we just following a formula for the sake of following a formula?
Well, this is okay. I mean, the early on, you and I both put this together. as did other people. I'm like, well, there's a cultural resonance to this kind of hero mythos storytelling, and it used to be the Western.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nerds, quote unquote, took over. We didn't, by the way.
No.
Now, that's a myth that you've all been sold. Some nerds took over.
Yeah.
Like some elite nerds, like Jeff Bezos and and Bill Gates.
Bill Gates,
yeah. But the average nerd is still stinky doing podcasts like you and me, drinking right. beers. But anyways, what was my point? It was a good point.
you were saying that what was popular before is the Westerns. Mm. And now it's superhero.
Is
movies.
The sun setting though on the, because aspirational hero style storytelling isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
That goes back to Homer. It is entrenched.
Yes.
In our
changes.
Species DNA. Yeah. It just takes new forms.
Yeah.
But as somebody who 20 years ago, if you told me that it would have taken this kind of arc, I would have lost my mind. But now is it a cursed monkey paw? Do I wish we could have done it better? Or is the sun setting on this kind of storytelling? Is there a kind of redemption arc for superhero storytelling the way we're doing it now? Because we are definitely in a valley. We are not at a peak.
No. I know what it is, though. And I think they're afraid to go there. And
oh.
And so here's the thing.
Because I've seen glimpses, though.
Yes.
And we can definitely give examples.
Yes.
Like Loki's finale, I was very, very, I thought.
That was excellent.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought we could get real weird with it. You know,
Loki in general, I think, was amazing. And I think the future of that,
we spoke very highly of Loki when we talked about it.
Anxiously awaiting the second season of that. And it kind of turns everything on its head. And I think, like you said, we're in a valley, but they're starting to really ramp up towards it. Like the new Ant-Man movie is dealing with Quantumania and it's dealing with Kang and stuff.
Yes.
Which is a big story.
But and actually our opportunity to get, I think, a really excellent Ant-Man movie.
Yes.
Because the first two have been, I won't say serviceable, but sturdy.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been good.
Yeah, they've been good.
I mean, they've been, part of that is getting over on the charisma of, you know, of
Paul Rudd.
But they're fun.
They're
for
funny.
What they were.
They're funny Marvel movies. They're
yeah,
the funny
they're
ones.
They're fun for what they are, and of course you know this, and we're talking about Marvel a lot.
Yeah,
because I mean that it is our wheelhouse. But
yeah.
In this, we'll say the oeuvre overall of Marvel, there has always been a place for Ant-Man to fill that niche.
Yes,
and so should there be in the movies. Quantumania is an opportunity to kind of take it to the forefront and have them be that. That level.
Well, it's one of the last kind of original of Avenger guys. So
that's true.
They're not going to throw that kind of story at like a Miss Marvel because that's a new character, right? So they're going to throw this the rumor is that Scott Lang dies in this one. So it's
all
a
right,
big
well,
story.
You actually kind of have addressed another elephant in the room problem. Mm-hmm. All the legacy characters are gone.
Gone, yes. And as you know from the comics, what happens when you kill off legacy characters?
Oh, God, it never goes well.
No,
it never
doesn't go well. And
it
what
never
happens?
Goes well.
They come back.
I don't care your I don't care what publisher you are. I don't care what title you are. It never fucking works.
No.
Never.
And it's never permanent because they know it doesn't go well.
No.
So, but the MCU doesn't have that option. Chris Evans doesn't want to be Captain America anymore. You can't bring him back.
You have to write him out.
You're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. is done being Iron Man. Well, so Iron Man's gone. So what do you do?
Well,
so you have to bring in these other
you
characters.
You pay him $80 million. Maybe he'll come back.
Well, everybody hopes that all these characters maybe come back, but I'm just saying. So, so they're throwing this story onto Ant-Man because they have Ant-Man left, but that's not my point. My point is that I think what Marvel needs to do more now is, whereas they had their core that were all brought together for the Infinity Saga with Thanos and stuff, they need to compartmentalize more, just like the comics are.
Mm.
They need to have their cosmic characters, they need to have their big ideas characters, and they need to have their street-level characters.
You don't think that's still too much playing in too many sandboxes?
No, and the reason is that if you're into one type, you can just follow that.
I do like that.
That's why the compartmentalized. One doesn't have to be related to the other all the time.
You got to remember, when this thing started, it wasn't phases upon phases.
No.
It just was, we'll see what sticks.
Everything bled together, though. they, and it was very successful.
They made it work in such a way that there was a Northern Star.
Yeah.
Where's the Northern Star?
Yeah.
Now, well, that's the other thing. It's, you can't see it. And yes, if it is very granular, I can't see it.
I don't think there is one yet. And I think this is what I was trying to say about Ant-Man. I think that's going to come to the forefront.
Time is not their friend.
No. But I don't think they realize that. I think that's what's going on, is they're like, they have 20 years of movies planned. Like, they've announced the next two phases of movies. And
so,
it's like,
on a cultural level, you've owned two generations, three generations of people.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like,
not without a reboot, right?
That's like saying the Rolling Stones are playing the tweens now. They aren't. And they're the fucking Rolling Stones. You know, that it culturally, you don't have your... You can't have your finger on the pulse that way.
Yeah.
You and I have been alive long enough to know when being into comics was not cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a thing. Let's be honest, it's not cool now.
It's not cool now.
People are into comic movies and the ideas of comics, comic characters, but people don't
read
comics.
But that hasn't translated into comic book sales.
No.
At all.
No.
As a matter of fact...
If anything, it's hurting.
If anything, it's hurting.
Because it's jarring that it's different from the movies.
It's jarring that it's different than the movies, and also there's a backlash against Western comic book storytelling. People are getting into manga.
That's true. Not me, but...
Me a little bit.
You a little bit.
So,
You're going that way.
I'm starting to go that way.
I'm the opposite. I started reading X-Men.
Oh, again, you doubled down.
I must be a glutton for punishment.
Dude, you doubled down.
Ugh. But anyways.
That's a conversation for a different day. This conversation is... But... I am not going to say that I don't think that, you know, don't call it a comeback, that that it's beyond repair.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the business model has to change somewhat. I think they have to scale back a little bit. I understand why, because we've been talking Marvel exclusively, but you can say the same thing for DC. They need content.
DC's almost worse because they're rushing content out.
Yeah.
Marvel at least has a clear plan.
Dude, they were going to release a Flash Ezra Miller movie.
I think they still are.
Jesus Christ.
There's been a rumor out that they're going to, that the sequel is already written. They haven't even made the first one. DC has
I'm not going to get into Ezra Miller's problems.
No.
But that is flushing money down the toilet.
Yeah. There's,
for the sake of it.
DC has an even worse problem than Marvel. So let's talk about Marvel first.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
So my thing with the compartmentalized, I just think that if they, they can make as much content. I don't think they need to make less. I think they just need to make it different enough. So like I said, so I think the biggest indicator is something like when Far From Home came out, and it was a huge, huge success.
Yeah. And that was only not even a year ago.
Exactly. And
I loved it. It
also had
film.
Nothing to do with the rest of the Avengers. It had nothing to do with the common big bad.
That it was a solid Spider-Man story.
Yeah. That doesn't have to be your story. That's the Avengers story, right?
Yeah.
So they need to start making interesting individual storylines.
I agree.
And I think that's the solution. Stop making everything interwoven. It's hard for the common person to follow because now they have to watch every show, watch every movie. And at a certain point, if you've missed a few, you dip out.
Well, you know what
else?
You're
not going to watch any of it.
It allows you to laser focus too.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same as comics.
Be given your own timeline. I know that's a big thing with Marvel is the timeline. You're like, well, we have to get this movie out in 3 months or 4 months or whatever their shooting schedule is. They're like, just make that fucking movie and make the best movie you can.
Yeah, exactly.
And it gets you put the release docket on schedule. I'm like, it comes out because they're worried about when this comes out, it has to compete against the other movies, and it's just
this one
a
can't
deluge.
Come out before this one. Exactly.
You know,
because they all intertwine.
They all,
so they have to come out in
like
a certain order.
It's like the tides. It just doesn't fucking stop.
And I
you
think
know?
They need to stop that. Now, I'm not saying they should stop making them all intertwined. I don't mean that. I don't mean like a Spider-Man movie comes out and it doesn't relate to, you know, the Ant-Man movie. It doesn't mean that what happens to Ant-Man doesn't
absolutely
affect
him. Absolutely not.
You don't have to mention it. You don't have to be, it doesn't have to affect it directly, right? And I feel like that's where they're missing the mark, is that everything seems to be going in one direction for everything. But to your point, we don't even know where that is.
Yeah, where's the Northern Star now, though?
It's
I don't see it.
It's all hinting at it.
It's really
it's
easy to say that when it was the Infinity Gauntlet, but what is it now?
Yeah. Well, it's obviously going towards Kang, the Kang dynasty.
Well, why wouldn't you lean into that?
Yeah. Well, I think going forward, they will.
I think it should.
And I think they will. Because if you look at their release schedule. But I mean, we got Secret
Invasion coming up, and I think...
Well, see, that's the other thing, is they. I feel like they're cramming a lot of stories in quickly. Like, the Secret Invasion is a big deal.
It is a big deal. It is a huge deal. That's one on the docket I might watch. Yeah, like,
but they're just making a TV show about it. Really, that should be...
It should be a movie.
That should be a whole phase, an end of a
phase.
It should
be a whole phase. Secret Invasion should be a phase. It
should be an Avengers end deal thing.
Yes.
Yes. But it's not. It's going to be a TV show. So this is my point. They're kind of cramming things in, and it affects everything else, which, like, trying to shoehorn things in...
It makes me wonder, though, on an editorial level, who's making those calls?
Well, I mean, Kevin Feige's in charge of the timeline.
Well, he is, but at the same time, who's going to be, like, who's the Marvel guy?
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean this as disrespect to Kevin Feige, because, Jesus, he has made them a shit ton of money.
Yep.
But who is their continuity guy? I mean, like, well, actually, you know... The guy asking the questions. Is there somebody asking the questions anymore?
I'm sure
they don't know.
I'm sure. Well, that's probably Kevin Feige. I think that's whenever they're making a show or movie, he always visits the set and looks at the scripts and stuff and makes sure that things jive.
So
right?
He is the continuity guy now.
He is. I'm pretty sure he is.
Well, he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
But.
I understand what you're saying. You're looking for the North Star, but I. And I think that does need to be clear with a certain amount of movies. But I think some of them don't need that. Like, I think for certain shows, they don't need to address those sort of things. They just need to tell interesting stories for those characters.
Because this is the other thing, though. We're starting to see diminishing returns in box office.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that certain movies underperformed, whether it's financially, whether it's artistically. We're starting to get to a place where people are starting to give less of a shit.
Yeah.
Now... I would love if there was more room to spend $50 million, $70 million, $90 million and make another Logan or something.
Yes.
Where all
this is what I'm getting at, is that's what they need to do.
That's entirely what I think.
If they make, like, for example, going back to what I was saying, if they make Spider-Man 4,
yeah,
he doesn't need to be a part of the Avengers. Why is he not just Spider-Man dealing with Spider-Man problems?
Yeah. And
why can't that be part of the MCU?
Don't pay Robert Downey Jr. $20 million just for 2 days of work.
Exactly.
Or whatever, right?
Why can't you just tell a great story that's individual to that character?
As a matter of fact, Spider-Man is the perfect character for that because Spider-Man is the small arc story. Yeah. Like,
well, they've set him up that way. And then...
He should be.
They also have guys like Daredevil and stuff for that sort
of story.
Daredevil,
exactly. Oh, God, talk about an underrepresented comic book character.
Yeah, well, luckily he's in She-Hulk, which... This is another thing, another issue I have is that they're always splashing other characters in because people love crossovers, which, I mean, that goes back to comics even though. Stan Lee knew it. He's like, when we throw another character from another comic in, people, they like it. But now I feel like they just do it just
but
for attention.
It doesn't feel special.
It doesn't. Because
that's
too much.
The key distinction.
Yeah.
When it becomes expected. It's not an Easter egg or whatever, or something found anymore, or a moment. It doesn't mean shit.
No.
It's not just, special anymore.
It happens way too often.
This guy's in this show, that guy's in that show.
And this goes back to they need to interweave it less.
Yeah.
And then you can just follow what you want. If you want to follow the whole MCU, it's kind of the same thing as reading comics.
For years and years, Spider-Man, Peter Parker was dealing with Spider-Man problems.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? Like, why can't they stay in their own lane? And I think that's a real struggle.
And that's where, and I think that's the solution.
Like, I didn't watch Moon Knight, but did they do Moon Knight in such a way that it related to everything else?
They didn't.
Really?
It's actually legit just a Moon Knight show.
Okay.
And I do think you should watch it. So, and that, I guess that's my thing, is that I think they are going in that direction. And I think the problem is that it's jarring for people because they're expecting, like, oh, well, where is this going towards the big bad? And it's like, it doesn't have to.
Because I don't think interest in this kind of storytelling is waning, but it just seems like it's getting worse. And that's kind of the struggle. Is
well,
people are...
let's be honest here. You touched on it earlier. A lot of the interesting characters are gone.
Well,
the legacy characters. Like, so now you're scratching.
Not just Marvel, DC. We could talk Black Adam, for example.
Well, DC still has their main characters, but they don't seem to know how to make a movie.
They can't make a good Superman movie. They can definitely make good Batman movies.
Yes, and they can also make movies like The Batman. It's not good. I'm sorry.
I didn't see it.
Anybody
I
who
didn't
liked
see
it,
it.
I do not agree with you. It had like six endings. It was like
Lord
of the Rings.
I hate movies
movie
that have like
six
endings.
Times. Batman was really inept. because the clues were so obvious that you're in the audience going, well, I understand.
Then why did people say it was good? Just because it's Batman?
Detective. I guess because he was dark and brooding. I don't know. You got to watch it. But my point is that it's not.
I don't know if I'd enjoy it.
I don't think you would enjoy it. It wasn't.
Batman is supposed to be super capable.
Yes.
That's a big part of Batman. That he's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, he's super rich, but he competes on this scale because he's actually super capable. Well,
this is like early Batman, so he's less capable, I guess.
Oh, so it's like year one kind of thing? Like,
I don't know what the deal is. But the point is, they can make good Batman movies and they can't. So their judgment is off. And I honestly think it's their... I mean, with Batman, it's an identity thing. We can get into that, but
Batman, even as a Marvel guy, Batman is an entirely different podcast.
They don't know if Batman should be ultra serious and mean, or if he should be a little fun.
Campy and...
They don't know.
Doing the Batusi.
Yeah.
Batman shit.
But as far as DC goes, they're rushing everything to try and catch up to Marvel. Instead of starting fresh and just doing the same thing, they're like, we got to get to this where Marvel is now. And it's like, they have a 15-year head start on you guys.
This is the weird thing is, like, as somebody who is well-versed in both strategic analysis, you know, being an accountant and studying this at length, but also comic book nerd shit, I'm like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, who's making these calls?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense on a strategy side.
I don't think anybody making the calls is somebody who actually reads comics or understands. I think they're just looking at trying
it's
to
It's one
make
or the
money.
Other, really. Give me a job is basically what I'm saying.
I think they're just, they're just trying to make money, Colin, but they just don't know what they're doing.
I know how to make money and I know what I'm doing.
Dude.
Nerd shit, at least.
DC is trying so hard. And the thing is that...
It seems like they're playing catch-up ball
all the time. They don't understand what they have. So... DC characters are not like Marvel characters. So
no, they're not.
Marvel is everyday people like you and me who gain power somehow. And like, they're not, but DC is gods.
They're gods.
There's very few people. I mean, Batman is a regular dude, but the rest are literal gods. Who
like
have been
Wonder
bestowed
Woman.
Bestowed power that is a legit god level.
Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, even I know this, a Superman, bestowed.
Even Aquaman.
Aquaman.
King of the ocean.
Beyond. It's not earned, but it's how you handle.
Yes.
And that's always been the thing with DC. It's the power and making good use. And because on the flip, you could be Lex Luthor or whoever else.
Exactly.
Whoever all their arch nemeses are.
Yeah.
Their antagonists.
So the problems are very different. And
they're
so
very different.
Warner Brothers, who makes DC movies, does not understand that.
No.
They're trying to make Marvel movies with DC characters and it doesn't come across. That's the problem.
It's
the
not gritty.
Problem.
It's not street. It's this elevated thing. It's
high level.
Very high level.
Yeah. They don't get that.
It's actually made me kind of want to do a DC deep dive and be like, maybe I was really missing something all these years.
Like for the comics wise?
Yeah.
For DC? I think you were. I read DC comics as a kid.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of DC stuff.
I bet there's a lot of great runs that I've just been like...
No, there really is. The problem with DC, in my opinion, the reason why I don't read it as much as Marvel is just that most of their characters are so powerful that there's not a lot of problems they face.
Well, it's iconic.
How many times can you have a crisis of like, I'm too powerful and am I good or bad? Okay, you figured it out. Now you're a good guy with all this power. Nothing can stop you. Like...
Well, I think it's. I mean, you remember what in Kill Bill 2, when Bill's talking about Superman, he's like, Superman's struggle is being Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah, Clark Kent is his mask.
Yeah.
He's actually Superman. He's not Clark Kent.
Yeah. And that's true. When you think,
to,
I'm like, that's
to
actually
be a regular
rather.
Dude.
It's trying to be. That's actually rather astute.
Yeah. Do you think they address that in the new Superman movie?
Like, it's not wearing
Steel,
it's not
right?
wearing a mask, it's taking it off.
You saw Man of Steel, right?
No.
No. Well, they didn't talk about it like that. Like, that's the thing. They don't address things like that. They don't understand the characters they have. Simply put,
that's why you need to get a nerd in the room.
You do. They just don't understand their characters at all. And I think that's why...
Not just executives.
That's like, why when you said they can make a good Batman movie, they can, because they do understand that. Because Batman is
the
most
Marvel
character that DC has.
The proof is in the pudding,
because
we've got a lot
of
good Batman movies.
Yes. Well, and like I said, he's a regular dude. He's the most Marvel superhero
he is,
that DC has.
He absolutely is the most Marvel dude.
Like,
He's their Daredevil.
I was just going to say that. I was going to say, I mean, Batman is Daredevil.
There's the reason why Frank Miller has two great runs, and it's Batman and Daredevil.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same character, yeah. Except Daredevil's poor. That's really the
difference. He's a lawyer. He's doing okay.
No, he does everything pro bono. He does do okay. He does lawyering for free. He's a bad lawyer.
That's true. He's a shitty lawyer.
I mean, he's a good lawyer. He's not, you know, he's not a rich asshole lawyer.
Yeah.
That's an interesting Daredevil run I want to see, where he's just like, fuck it. I'm going to be rich asshole lawyer.
and beat corporate
up,
lawyer?
Yeah. And beat up bad guys at night.
I'd like to see that run. That'd be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, so, I mean, the problem with DC is they're trying to catch up with Marvel, and they're not even the same.
I don't think that's the latest.
Their stories aren't even the same. So, DC has a lot more problems.
It's so weird. It's so weird to me because that style of storytelling to me translates better to movies. Yes,
it should. It should be more epic.
It should be quite more epic.
So if you've watched the DC movies, like Wonder Woman especially, they're trying to make her more relatable to the everyday person.
No.
And she's not. No, she's not.
No.
And if you read the comics, it's the same thing. It's like, no, she's an Amazon.
She's queen of the Amazons.
Yeah, she's above all that shit. She has bigger problems.
Yeah.
It's the same, like, Superman has bigger problems.
She's like, while you bottom feeders are worrying about whatever you know, I take care of this shit so you can function. You know, and that was always my understanding of DC.
Yeah. But that's not how the movies read. So, and that's their problem.
It's so weird to me, though, because we're in this space where these two bipolar ways of telling stories on a comic book level, neither are translating on a surface level. Both of them seem to be in a real recession. Do either of them have a way forward? I agree that they have to get smaller.
Yes.
But does DC get smaller? I don't know if they can. Like, who wants to see?
I actually think DC should get bigger, more epic with their movies.
But
their stories.
By that,
do
you mean actually make a good Wonder Woman or Superman movie?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But each one is epic. Like
the
don't
first
rush
Wonder
it.
Man, Wonder Woman movie. This might offend some people. I thought was mid.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right.
I thought it was okay.
I thought it had some real problems.
Me too. I thought a lot of it was unnecessary.
Yeah. And the second one, you wanted to do a live watch because it was so poor.
It's so bad.
So, look, I know we all wanted to get it to get over because we all want a great Wonder Woman movie. We do. But
I'd rather just watch the show from the 70s.
Like, yeah, there you go.
Way better.
Yeah. And Superman, every 5 years, 7 years, they and it just never works.
Well, the problem with this Man of Steel Superman that we're getting is they make him super, like, moody. And, like, he's almost, like, Superman is supposed to know he has this power that he has to control. The hard part for Superman is controlling his power.
Yeah.
And in this, it's not that. It's like he lets loose to his emotions all the time.
Apparently there's a show right now where it's like on TV where it's like Superman gets what he is. And people who read Superman are like, wow, that's the best representative.
It could be
representation
of WB shows. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't watched any of those.
So. No, me neither. But it's one of the best Superman representations going back to like Christopher Reeve / Smallville, basically. Like, what is this? Like,
well, this is one thing I will say about DC is that their animated shows are excellent.
Oh, they're excellent.
They know what they're doing. But they get their characters. They get them.
Yeah.
You watch them. They do get their characters. And it's like, why doesn't, and Warner Brothers finances that. Why don't they finance a big movie that with the same writers? That's what I don't get.
I don't know, man.
But that's the point. Their animation, if they just released those as live action, they would be great. So why not?
But
the potential is there. That's what I'm saying. Like this whole conversation has been about like, are they dying?
Yeah.
And
yes, I was about to circle back to that because that's really my big point.
Yeah.
We're in a state of entropy when it comes to this kind of storytelling. Now, is there a way back?
I do believe so. And I think there is hope. That's what I'm saying.
Because honestly, what replaces it? I feel like there will always be a place for this kind of storytelling. And this is kind of comic books time in the sun.
It is. Yeah.
So I don't know. It feels like on life support, but only because that is, people aren't given a lot of alternatives.
Yes. No. I mean, what else?
It's crowded. I mean, comic book storytelling is actually crowded out most of the other shit.
Yes.
Weirdly, we have our John Wicks and these kind of things. But that even that is borderline niche.
Well, I mean, this goes back to what we talked about earlier, was the streaming services. So, and we talk about this when we review comedies and stuff on this show. Those movies don't get made anymore. You don't go to the theater and just watch a straight up comedy.
You don't. Why would you?
Yeah. Because it's like, well, that's a Netflix thing. Yeah. They make those movies for Netflix now.
Yep. And they're mostly made by Adam Sandler.
Yes. Well, don't get into Adam Sandler. So
it's borderline a comedy.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So superhero movies are what's in the theater. That's what people pay to see in the theater because of big effects. It's that's a big screen movie.
And the other
that's
thing what they're is, expecting now. I will say this. Over the last 5 to 10 years, a lot of the special effects, big budget gambles have failed. Most of them have.
Yeah. But not at making money. They're all making money.
No, they are not.
Not as much as they'd like to.
Like,
they're not failing. Like,
you think Dune made
losing.
A lot of money? It didn't.
No, that didn't.
You know, and that's just one example. What was that one with that actress, Cara Delevingne or whatever? I don't even remember what the movie was called. It was like a $200 million movie.
It was based on a comic, too.
It was a $200 million movie. Yeah. That didn't make any, you know, Cloud Atlas, blow. I can go on and on. Yeah. Movies that did not make any fucking money.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they need the cachet of the bona fides of being a comic book first. But even then isn't anything.
Well, I think you're right. The character
did
gets
Mobius
people...
make any money? No, because it was a shit movie.
Well, was anybody bought a Mobius comic book? Again, they need the characters.
I might have when I was 14.
Let's put it this way, Colin. Like, they make a Mobius movie, you didn't go see it.
I didn't.
And you know how bad they've been, but if they make an X-Men movie, are you going to go see it? Because it's the fucking X-Men. Of course you are. Don't even hum and haw. You know you're going to fucking see it. It's bullshit. You know you're going to go see it. You're telling me you're not going to go see an X-Men movie?
I will go see it.
It can be the shittiest movie they've ever made. You will pay to see it.
I didn't see Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, but you saw the 6 movies before it or whatever.
I saw the
And you
the
knew
ones.
That it was going to be fucking garbage. But
oh,
now you
I
have,
knew it was going to be
But my
garbage.
Point is now you have hope because you're like, well, they have good characters. You hope that they make a good movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's my personal example.
So,
but you're right.
So all I know, but I think that goes for a lot of
people.
But
you get enough personal examples, then maybe you could reel somebody in.
All I'm trying to say is that I think they need to make stories good for the characters that they have and not worry about the larger picture. And I think that's where they kind of lost their way a little bit, is that I think there's two things going on. One, they don't have the characters anymore because they lost a lot of the main characters. Mm-hmm. Like, when you go to the comic store and look at the shelf, the characters that sell comic books, a lot of them are not available for movies anymore.
I know.
So it's tough. So you're pulling from the second tier, right? Yes. When there's comics, and you think about Marvel comics, there's at least 3 tiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got your Captain America's, your Iron Man's, your Spider-Man. X-Men.
Top X-Men.
And then you got your second tier, which is, like I said, like your Miss Marvels or your secondary characters, like your spin-off Spider-Man comics.
Or believe it or not, even like a Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, Deadpool, exactly, is a second tier.
Because Deadpool never has an ongoing.
Or even a Fantastic Four is now second tier.
Fantastic Four is now second tier.
Exactly. And then you have your third tiers where you're obscure. So that's where something like a She-Hulk sits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas like very few people actually buy it.
A 5-series run of, if you want to tell this story or whoever. Yeah. Yeah.
And so as far as storytelling goes for Marvel, they need to make sure they understand where their character sits and make that type of story. And I think that's the solution. I think right now that they don't, that's their focus is blurred. Is like when Moon Knight came out, they made a huge deal about it, right? And if you watch the show, it's good. Like, I enjoy the performances and the writing and stuff, but it does feel like it's trying to be an epic story. And Moon Knight's not an epic.
No,
character.
It's not.
Exactly.
It's not.
So I feel like that's, for me, that show fell short that way. It's not an epic story. And if it is,
it's kind of like that Moon Knight, Cloak and Dagger. It's like that. Yeah, quiet
that
Marvel
level.
Tier.
But I feel like
street,
like,
very street, you
with,
know.
With that show, they tried to tell the epic story of Moon Knight, because there is one. There's a big arching story for him. But that's a later on thing. Introduce the character, tell interesting stories, hint at a big thing in behind, and then get to it later if it's
weirdly,
popular.
Weirdly, before they came over, I feel like that's what really the Netflix Marvel was really doing.
Yes, it was. I was gonna bring that up. I was gonna say the Daredevil and the Punisher series, and even the Jessica Jones. I enjoyed it a lot. The Luke Cage, people liked it. I thought it was a little slow.
It was kind of slow.
And like,
Good acting, though.
Great acting. And the tone and mood was excellent.
Yeah.
I just thought that the story was slow. Like, that story was, what did they make, 10 episodes or something?
Yes.
Could have been done in 3.
Yes.
Let's be honest here.
It was like, very it was, slow. Yeah.
So.
The issue with Luke
and
Cage
then, and then Luke Iron Cage's Fist,
issue is
Iron Fist, I thought, had a very interesting idea, but the acting was poor and the writing was poor. I just didn't.
I didn't see Iron
it
Fist.
It wasn't interesting. But anyway, so I actually really enjoyed them because, again, they knew who their characters were, and they were simple stories for that character.
And they were very authentic.
Very authentic. And that's what they need to focus on. I think they need to understand where their character sits,
yeah,
that they're dealing with, and tell a story at that level. So when you're telling a story, like, it's actually going back to, like, the Eternals. You never saw Eternals, did you?
No.
It was a very big story, which totally makes sense for the Eternals. Because
sure,
they are actually like a superhero team that is actually kind of above humanity.
Yeah,
they don't much so. Deal with human
That's
problems.
That's kind of their thing.
It is their thing. And so it's kind of something they deal with. They're like, well, how come they didn't fight Thanos? And it's like, because that's not their thing. They don't
but
give a shit about Thanos.
It raises the question, where's the buy-in?
Yes. Well, that's the thing, is that, is it worth making a movie of Eternals? Does anyone want to see that?
Yeah.
Maybe it has its place, but I get it. And that's why.
Oh, you're like, oh, you're going to make this movie and they don't deal with human problems?
Yeah.
Why would humans give a shit?
Well, because it's a different type of story, though.
It's
some
a different
like
kind
that.
Of story.
This is my point, is the Eternals are Marvel's DC heroes. They're their god heroes.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
that level, right? They need to be, DC needs to be telling that level of story. All right, let's take a break. And you're done your beer, too.
I am done my beer.
Now that we're done talking, you've done listening to us, go to Instagram, like our page.
Yeah.
Beers.n.banter.mc. Tell a friend about our little show here.
Yep.
And make sure to put stuff in that you want to hear us talk about. If you're passionate about something, let us know. We'll talk about it. Movies, mm-hmm. shows,
oh,
music.
Anything.
Anything. Comics.
Yeah.
And then the other one is beers. We love drinking beer.
Clearly.
So tell us about good beers.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess until next time, party on, Colin.
Party on, Mike.